looking at a few of you are grinning and smiling when you're singing that. I love that. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng. We had his feet may fall. Don't you want to be among that number? Oh, we'll be singing. The title of this, subject of this, is could be many things. The Lord said unto my Lord, or the one seated at the right hand. Spurgeon entitled the message, The King Priest. The King Priest. Back in Luke 20, go there, pick up where we left off. The Lord, after they asked questions, he asked one question, and it stopped all questions. And our Lord's absolute sovereignty answers all questions, doesn't it? And will stop all arguments. And it stumps men. People can't answer that, our Lord's absolute sovereignty. The Lord Jesus Christ, and that's who he is, and that's what he's called, and that's what we call him, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that to his disciples. You call me Lord and Master, and you say, well, for so I am. I love to call him so. When I hear the name of Jesus, I say, Lord Jesus. And my knee wants to bow, and my tongue confess. And he asked this question three times, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew and Mark, he said, look at verse 41, he said unto them, how say they that Christ is David's son? In Matthew and Mark, he said, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? How say they Christ is David's son? In verse 42, David himself saith in the book of Psalms, and he quotes Psalm 110, verse 1, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore called him Lord. David knew Jesus Christ. All God's people do. He didn't know his name was Jesus. He had not yet come to this earth and taken that earthly name of humiliation, that name Jesus. That's what the old writers used to call it, his name of humiliation. It was humiliation, great condescension for our Lord to come to this earth and become a man. He became a man. It was like us becoming a worm. His name was Jesus, but God gave him a name. It meant Savior, Joshua, a man. And yet he had a name long before Jesus. He wore it then and he still wears it now. What? Lord. Long before David didn't know his name was Jesus, but he knew he was Lord. He knew the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he did. All right, our Lord said, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is it? The Messiah. Whose son is he? Is he David's son? He was to be born of a woman made under the law to redeem us from the law. Of the seed of David, according to the will of God, according to the word of God. Why? Why was he called the son of David? Because David was the king, wasn't it? God's first king, true king, David. A good king, wasn't it, David? And our Lord came of the tribe of Judah, like David. He was literally born in the same town David was, Bethlehem. What's that mean? House of bread. Ruddy, the whole story of David, and I better stop there. But our Lord said, is he David's son? Then why did David call him Lord? Is he David's son or is he David's Lord? Is he Mary's son or is he God's son? Which is it? Is he God's son? Then why did God call him God? Unto the Son, God said, thy throne, O God. And there's a story, when David was dying, he sat on his bed and Solomon, his son, came in. It says David bowed to Solomon. The Father bowed to the Son. He did. He did. God the Father. There equal. They're one and the same. You say, which is it? Is he that son of David? Is he son of man? Is he son of God? Yes. These three are one. And in a minute we're going to look at how he's a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. No father or mother. No beginning of day. Who is this? What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? He had no beginning. But a body was prepared him. For what? The suffering. For sin. So he quoted Psalm 110. Now go back there, Psalm 110. Let's go back there and look at it. And you know this verse is quoted 7 times. You know the word, the number 7 is perfection, don't you? Huh? 7 times this verse is quoted in Scripture. 7 times. In Psalm, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, 3 times. Acts chapter 2. Peter quoted it at Pentecost. It brought everybody to their knees. 3,000 people. And in Hebrews 1 and Hebrews 13, twice, 7 times. How many verses are in Psalm 110? 7. Where's Melchizedek spoken of? Hebrews 7. I just got a chill. This is God's word, isn't it? Perfect. It all redounds to all speak. This is a hymn book. It really is all about Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. This church is all about Him. The universe. God created a universe and everything and everyone for Him. Who? Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. Christ is all. All of this book. Don't you love when you're going through the gospel? Him, he, him, he said, he saw, he looked, he came. It's him. It's the story of him. It's our story. It's our salvation. And so are the Psalms. And so are the prophets. It all speaks of him. David was speaking of him. Now this is a powerful Psalm. It's a frightening psalm. It's terrible. It should provoke fear. It talks about his wrath, his judgment, dead bodies under his feet. Doesn't it? And I've reminded you, and I hope you have seen throughout the Gospel of Luke, how serious everything our Lord has been saying is. Have you seen that? I've seen it as never before. It's on and on it goes. The next chapter 21, he talks about the end of it all. He talks about distress of nations. He talks about men's hearts failing. He talks about the end of it all. When he gets down there, he says, but you look up because your redemption is drawing nigh. But it's serious. It's sober. This psalm begins where our Lord quoted, it says in verse 1, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. This is who he is. This is where he is. Who is he? Who is Jesus? What think you of Christ? He's Lord. That's what we know first thing, don't we, Brother John? That's what we find out. When we find out the truth as it is in Jesus, we find out Jesus is Lord. He's God manifest in the flesh. Let that baby born in Bethlehem is Emmanuel. Let that boy in carpenter's shop is the everlasting Father, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That one hanging on the tree hung himself on that tree. Lord, the Lord Jehovah enthroned him, said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. That's the place of acceptance. That's the place of honor. That's the place of majesty. That's the heir to the throne. That's one equal to the one on the throne. Sit thou at my right hand, the son of the right hand. His right arm and his right hand, his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Gotten us the victory. This is Christ. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. This is a conversation that took place between God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, Ezekiel, these three together. Long before the world began, this conversation took place. Long before anything had its being, long before the whole purpose of God unfolded, God said, "Sit right here, Lord, and reign and rule." So he was Lord long before the world ever. Nobody makes him Lord. God made him Lord long before. This is why I say this all the time, but really it's the worst form of blasphemy to say, "Make Jesus your Lord." You just don't know him if you say that. God hath made this same Jesus. This is what pierced the hearts of 3,000 people at Pentecost. That God hath made this Jesus. You thought it was a man? Long ago, God put him on his throne, right hand, the Lord over all. Sent him to work to do a work. Sent him to earth to do a work. It was impossible for him to fail. Is all predestined. It's all purpose. It was done before it started. You see what I mean? And Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. There's no possibility of God's purpose of salvation failing. He was set up as Lord before it all began. Dictum factum. Before it began, he's Lord. When it all ends, he's Lord. There he sits. He sat in the beginning, he got up, he came to this earth to do work, he finished it, like the high priest of old, I hope I get to it, went in a holy place and offered up his precious blood. Then what did he do? What did Hebrews 1 say? Speaks of him. After he had by himself purged our sins, what did he do? Sat down. And there he sits. And people, right now, there he sits. You can't see him. He's sitting there on the circle of the earth, expecting his enemies to be made his footstool. God said, "I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring every enemy, every unbeliever, every rebel, every person that has not bowed and not confessed my son, they're going to be under his feet." What's that cause? It did the people at Pentecost. You know, mankind trods underfoot the blood of the covenant, don't they? Mankind walks all over the truth. They walk on by. Jeremiah said, "Is it nothing to you that pass by? Behold, see if any sorrow like unto my sorrow, where then the Lord hath afflicted me." And the world says, "We don't care." They walk on by, walk all over. Walk all over God's people. Walk all over the... Don't need this book. Don't need this worship. God says, "Okay. Everyone that won't bow, they're going to be under his feet. He's going to put everything under his feet." Like David came upon Goliath. He downed him. And he put his foot on his neck. David's king. Christ is king. He's Lord. Bow. Bow. Believe. And thou shalt be saved. God's not mocked. God's not mocked. Men laugh and mock and scoff and all that, but God's going to have the last laugh. But our mouths are going to be filled with laughter. Like Psalm 126. When the Lord turned our captivity, we're like them that dream. Then our mouths were filled with laughter. We say, "The Lord has done great things for us. In his power, he's made us bow." He showed us who Christ is. And God's people come and they kneel at his feet. No, they just sit like Mary at his feet. They were enemies. And he broke down this enemy. And that's verse 3. Verse 2, he says, "Lord, shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies." The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength. What is that? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, David said. What is his rod? The rod of his strength out of Zion, where it comes out of Zion. What is that? What I'm doing right now. The gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And they won't believe unless they hear the gospel. It's the God's power. It's the rod of his strength that comes and rules over his people who were formerly enemies. Breaks down that enmity. That's verse 3. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. When the gospel comes in power. I remember as a young fellow, you know, I had the world by the tail on a downhill pool, not knowing I was about to perish with the world. Oh, I thought I was so smart. I thought I know, I'm smarter than my parents. Now that I'm 18, I know everything. I thought that. I actually told a friend that I could refute everything my dad believed. 18. And I will not believe that, I said. I will not. I'm leaving. And I ain't coming back. I don't need that. But God says, you will. Yes, you will. I will not have this man reign over me. Yes, you will. And you'll be glad I said so. Oh, am I ever glad that God gave the command. Almighty love, arrest that man. Stop this wild career. I can't do this without Herod. Oh, if I could just get through to the hearts and minds and souls of some of these young people. But I can't. But the gospel does and can. It's the only thing that will. And I say, God, stop them. God, speak to them like you did to me. No harder case than mine, no worse case than mine. Not possible. But God, his arm's not short. His gospel's strong. I won't believe that old-fashioned gospel. Well, I'm an enlightened, you know, 60, 70 love child. I'm smarter than the... Oh, no, you're not. You're going to find out. You ain't nothing but a wretched sinner in the hands of a sovereign God if he doesn't have mercy on you. You're going to perish with the rest of the world. God, Lord, exert thy power. Please, he did it for me. He did it for these. Thy people shall be willing. Willing. The rod of his power. Let me just, I don't want to go past it. The rod of his power is the gospel. It's Christ. Christ is the rod, isn't it? He is the gospel. He is the power of God. It's his voice we must hear. His gospel, he speaks. The rod, remember the rod of Moses and Aaron? That rod sent judgments on Egypt. Remember? All the judgments of Egypt were by the rod of Aaron. Moses said, strike it, water, make it blood. And every single judgment, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men in this world who hold the truth and unrighteousness. Jesus Christ is doing it. The floods of New York City, Jesus Christ did it. The hurricane of New Orleans, that's like Jericho. He destroyed it once, he destroyed it again. Who did that? Jesus Christ did that. Yes, he did. Everything. But do men acknowledge it? No, the Egyptians didn't. The Egyptians thought it was global warming. They did. That's what they thought. It was Jesus Christ. He's the Lord. You understand? Long before, he's the one that did all that. He's the one that's doing all this. His hand. He's the right arm of God. He's the one. The rod's in his hand, the rod of judgment. He's the one. That Red Sea that parted. Moses' rod, the Red Sea that parted. It was a wall. The water was a wall unto his people. It could not come down on them. What's that? Jesus Christ crucified. Well, it came down on those Egyptians. that rod smote that rock. And out of that rock came water. What's that? That's Jesus Christ. When the Holy held up the rod, God's people triumphed. Hold down the rod, the enemy triumphed. What's that? It's the gospel of Christ. Isn't it? The rod. Scepter of righteousness is the scepter of His kingdom. The rod, His people. Oh, God's people are made willing in the day of His power. They hear. He makes us to hear. He makes us to repent. We bow. We believe. God says, let there be light. There's light. Not until then. God says, be born. We're born again. God says, believe. We believe. God says, love. God says, and it's willing. He makes us willing. Makes us lovingly do it. Submissive. In the day of His power. And the beauties of holiness. Holiness. From the womb of the morning. What's that? It's His holiness. It's His righteousness. Oh, the Holy One of Israel came to be made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. From the womb of the morning. What's that? He's the Son of righteousness that arose with the generation of Jesus Christ. When the sun rose, so did we. The womb of the morning. The sun arisen. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. And all of the writers applied all this to God's people. And it does. As He is, so are we. But He gets the preeminence, doesn't He? Oh, the dew of youth is on His brow. He said, my doctrine shall drop as rain, as the dew on the ground. Long before rain, before that judgment, Noah, the dew, the world was watered by dew. What's that? Jesus Christ. The dew of Hermon came down, you know, and that's Jesus Christ. He's the eternal one without beginning today. Youth, strength, that's Him. And so are His people. Born again in Him, made like Him. Now, right in the middle, seven verses, the fourth verse, right in the middle, talks about this priest forever. Okay? Thou art... The Lord has sworn He will not change His mind, will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Is this important? Oh my. Galatians, Romans, Galatians, Hebrews. Turn to Hebrews 7 real quickly, okay? Hebrews 7 real quickly. Right in the middle of this is the heart of the gospel. A priest forever. After the order of Melchizedek, his priesthood. He's the king and he's the priest. You know, there never was ever a king priest in the Bible. David was not a priest. He's Judah. The priest is from Levi. Okay? None of the kings were from Levi. They're from Judah. Okay? None of them. There were no king priest in the Bible. None. No one. This mysterious man named Melchizedek, king of Salem. What's that?
Peace.
The priest of the Most High God. Look at verse 1. This Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, he met Abraham. Who's Abraham? Father of the faith. He's the first. God made all Jews come from him. Father of the faithful, his name may. Returning from the slaughter of the king and blessed him. Melchizedek blessed him. Melchizedek blessed Abraham. Read on. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. Abraham paid tithes to this Melchizedek. Who is this? Well, meant by interpretation, king of righteousness. Well, who's that? A priest? King of Salem? King of peace? That's Jesus Christ. Without father, without mother, this Melchizedek had no earthly parents. Well, where did he come from?
God.
Neither beginning of days nor end of life. He had no beginning. He has no end. Who is this? Made like unto the Son of God. He abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoil. And verily they that are the sons of Levi, the office of priesthood, they have a commandment to take tithes of the people. They were to tithe to the priest, but no, Abraham, he gave tithes to him. Who is this? Jesus Christ. So it goes on to say in verse 17 that Jesus Christ, he testified, God testified in Psalm 110 that Christ is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Do we need a priest? Do we? A priest, high priest. A high priest was one who went to God. Years in the Old Testament, went to God for the people. He's the one.
He dare not go without blood. Remember?
Go into the Holy of Holies. God who's holy. The people are sinful. He cannot come to God except through a mediator. One man. High priest. Designated by God. To come into the presence of God. Where God would meet and speak over the mercy seat. And that man would come not without blood. With the blood of lamb and bulls and goats and all that. But those can't put away sin. And that man's just a man. He
represents Christ.
You know that. You know the world doesn't know that. False religion has their priests. You know, the world said when Christ was here, they said, we have no king but Caesar. You know what God's people say? We have no king really but Christ.
That's right.
The world says, we have a pope. We have a priest. He's a pope. He's in Rome. We say, we have a priest. He's in heaven. Seated at the right hand of him. And he'll put that imposter under his feet real soon. Yes, he will. He's our prophet, he's our priest, and he's our king. He's told us all things that we need to know. He's priest, he has offered the blood before the Lord, and God accepted it on our behalf. He made one offering forever, perfecting us, obtained eternal redemption, and there ain't no more sacrifice. And he's our king. Always has been, always will be. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now that was right in the middle of Psalm 110. The heart and soul of the gospel is we have a priest who offered up his own precious blood. Now, the Lord, verse 5, here's what he's going to do to his enemy. The Lord at thy right hand. Jesus Christ shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He'll judge among the heathen. It's his wrath, his judgment. He'll fill the places with dead bodies. Didn't the Lord say, I wound and I heal, I kill and I make alive? Didn't he say, I, the Lord, do all these things? I do it all. Didn't he? I want you to turn quickly to Revelation 6. So many places we could turn. Oh my. Revelation 6. And this is the whole end of this world, this story is recorded here. And we're about to look at it in Luke 21, the Lord. And that's by design. In the last days we're considering these things now more than ever as you see the day approaching. Revelation 6, verse 14. You have it? It says, the heavens will be departed as a scroll. We sing that hymn, don't we? And they will be. When it's rolled together, every mountain and island will move out of their place. And the kings of the earth and great men, rich men, cheap cap, mighty men, every bum, every free man, hid themselves in dens in the rocks of the mountains. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? That's something, isn't it? Barnard had a message one time entitled, The Greatest Prayer Meeting Ever Held. And he's talking about these verses. And all men have never prayed a day in their life. Start calling on God. It's too late. But God. right now. It's caused our knee to bow, our tongue to confess, to see His glory, to see His lordship, to see His work of salvation on our behalf. Given us faith in Him, caused us willing, to be made willing to bow to and be ruled by and love to have it so. And worship and glorify the Son. And we have His name in our foreheads. He has our names on His breastplate and in His hands. We have His name. We bear His name. Christian. Yeah. Though men use that term lightly and throw it about and dishonor it, I still
wear it.
Oh, man. Fall on us. You know what we say? Remember when Christ said, if that rock falls on you, it'll be ground to powder. But if you fall on it, it'll break your heart. Hide us, they say. Hide us from the face of Him. What do we say? Hide me, oh my Savior, hide. Where? In the cleft of the rock. In Him. I will be found in Him when His wrath comes. I want to have a lamb as my substitute, because the lamb's coming in wrath. The great day of His wrath has come. Who shall be able to stand if the Lord marks iniquity? Who shall stand? But there's forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Look back at our text, and I quit. It says, He shall judge, verse 6, among the heathen and fill the places with dead bodies. Brothers and sisters, I cannot say this enough, and I can't emphasize it enough. If anybody dies, Jesus Christ did it. You can blame it on this or that and the other, but it's God. God said, I killed. And God has given all judgment to Jesus Christ. Yes. See, this is a Jesus that the world doesn't know. He really is. They think He's a man, but we see right here, and he was a man, but now he's Lord. Be feared. Be reverenced. He wound the heads over many countries. Oh, he bruised the serpent's head. That's for sure. Did he not? Did you read it with me? Verse 6. He shall wound the heads over many countries. The God of this world, He's under His feet. He's under Jesus Christ's feet. He does Christ's bidding. He can't do a thing unless Christ allows it. Aren't you glad? Now look at this verse. This is wonderful. I close with it. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. And I will not have you turn, but the first mention of a brook is in Deuteronomy 9. A brook is a stream of water. Deuteronomy 9, where Moses reminded the people of what he did for them. The people, when the law was being written, they were breaking it. They were breaking it before it was written and while it was written. And when Moses was coming down from the mountain, they were dancing around a calf of gold. What's that? Covetousness, idolatry, gold. That's this world, isn't it? Riches. They see no riches in Jesus Christ, but this world is their idol. All right? They didn't need God. They didn't need that. They called him that fella, Moses. Well, he came down, and it says that Moses took that golden calf and ground it to powder and strawed it on the water. Deuteronomy 9 says he threw it in the brook, which was a symbol of their sin against God. He threw it in the brook, and Moses made them drink it. And it left a horrible, bitter taste in their mouth, didn't it? Are you with me? Christ drank that brook. He said, the cup which my Father giveth me to drink, shall I not drink it? When Christ came here, we were idolaters. We were covenant breakers. We were law breakers. We were sin. This world was our idol. But God made him to be sin. He came to this world, Brother John, and he drank that cup, that bitter cup of our sin, drank it dry. Drink of the brook. And in doing so, he lifted up his head. Now, David This actually happened. In John 18, right after our Lord went into the garden to pray that prayer, after that he crossed the brook Kidron. There was a brook he crossed. And he went into the garden, and right after that he's going to the cross. David, it says, when David was across that brook, he reached down and took a drink. Gideon drank of the brook. Nemean drank of the brook. Did Christ, when he crossed that brook, after that prayer, and going into the, did he stop and drink it? I believe he probably did. Symbolically. But the point is that he drank of that brook, of that sin, that the broken law and everything was cast into the water. He drank of the brook, and God, because he was made sin, because he endured the cross death, even the death of the cross, God has given him a name above every name. God has exalted him. He has lifted up our head like Moses lifted up the serpent. Are you with me? Anybody see that? And you know what? It makes me lift up my head. That's what we're going to see in Luke 21. When you see all this, and the Lord's about to end it. He really is. I see the judgments. I see the plagues. Don't you see them as clear as day? The world doesn't see it. I see them. Don't you see it? Time, sign of the time. See the clouds, the dust of his feet. When you see all these things, no, the end is nigh. But you know what he says to us? Lift up your head. Your redemption is drawing good news for my people who he broke down that enmity and brought them to Christ's feet and caused them to bow and see his glory and call him my Lord and my God. I'm going to end smiling. Okay.